It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, the Phils won the NL East last night, first time in a long time. They hadn't done it since 2011. But they got it done. Of course, it's going to be a lot of coverage here on WIP over the next six weeks, because that's about what it'll take to get to early November and hopefully claim that crown. Someone who will be chronicling it with us, for us, and with you for the next many weeks and years to come. The pride of Malvern High School, which tells you, frankly, I don't really have that much to be proud of. Rhea stepped over the line. I'll say it again, which tells you they don't really have that much to be proud of. Hello, Ben Davis.
Top of the morning to you.
And all of it to you, and that was rude of me, and I take it back. They got a lot to be proud of.
It's Malvern Prep.
What'd I say?
Malvern High School.
Yeah, well, Malvern Prep. Well, there's Malvern Prep, then there's The Prep, but that's a whole nother matter. Shout out to both schools. Hello, a bigger shout out to The Prep. All right, Ben, they did it last night. Look, we knew they probably would at some point. They finally got it done. What, from your vantage point, what stood out to you? The celebration, they went hard. Now, we don't know how much they actually drank. We know they spilled more than they drank.
Correct.
There was a massive, puddle isn't what you'd call it. It was like an ocean.
No, that's flooding.
Yeah, T-Mac said it was like a lake in there.
Right, it was a lake. So, Ben, what'd you make of it? I mean, it was quite a night.
It was a great night. It was a group win. Aaron pitched tremendously. They got a big home run early on from JT and obviously Schwarber later on. And just a good team win. I think they were just ticked off it had taken that long to get there. But the bottom line is they won the East. It was the second of their goals. And they just, they have the next one is to get the best record in the National League and hopefully all in baseball. So they have that home field advantage throughout.
How did you feel about the way they handled the celebration of last night? It was excessive to see, in some people's minds. I going into it, thought I wanted to see them sort of restrain themselves, and then I think I got caught up in it, and I got so happy and excited watching them be happy that I forgot that I wanted them to be composed and everything. Well, how were they supposed to act?
Well, I think they were a little more subdued on the field, and then I think once they got inside and everybody started popping champagne and throwing the beers around, I think it started to escalate a little bit more, and understandably so, because you can never take for granted getting into the playoffs. You can never take for granted winning your division, which is a very good division.
Yeah.
And to having gone through, I know the Braves sustained a lot of injuries, but so have the Phillies. Not to the extent and the duration that the Braves had, but the Phillies throughout the course of the season, they've had a lot of guys on the IL and big name guys.
Sure have.
MVPs.
Yeah, you're
on
right.
Batting leaders on the IL.
Right.
So I think it all kind of came out in that celebration, and I have no issues with how they celebrated.
I thought it was interesting last night, just the dichotomy. You saw the contrast with the older guys out on the field. Even some of the guys, you saw them in there with the beer flying a foot deep. The puddles, their socks are soaked, and then they're out on the field with their family, with their little children and their wives, and there is this, I don't know, responsibility that you also see that's pulling them back, and I believe, like, it feels like they are treating this postseason like a responsibility, in a responsible way, using the last two postseasons as reference points. They're adults about this, and I think that was reflected in
I will say this. And I don't say this to rain on the parade, of which I'm extremely excited as a Philadelphia Phillies fan, that they won a division last night and celebrated pretty hard. But I will tell you this. If guys miss tonight's game because they partied to the point where they're going to miss tonight's game and they're a half a game behind the Dodgers with five games to go to get the number one seed, I think that's a mistake. I'm just telling you point blank. I believe that. I really do. Now, I know there might be some people out there that disagree with me, and we can hear from you, 215-592-9494. And in no way am I trying to turn the whole show into that, because the bigger focus is the accomplishment, the fantastic season, the joy of being a Phillies fan in this era where obviously it's not only going on, but will continue to go on. I mean, this team's not going to play peekaboo and not be around next year. Okay, they're going to be back in the playoffs next year. They'll probably make the playoffs 5 or 6 straight years, maybe 7. Like, they got a great squad. They got a big payroll. They got great pitching. They got notable hitters. They got one of the best players of this era in Bryce Harper. They got one of the best players of this era in Zach Wheeler. But I will tell you, they're going to get the bye no matter what. That one seed should matter a lot.
And they know it matters.
Are guys going to miss time tonight because of how they celebrate?
They already know the lineup. They already know the lineup tonight. We know JT's not pitching. When Tanner Banks, I believe, is starting. I think it's going to be Banks, Allard, and Walker. But they know who's going to be starting. And a lot of these guys were scheduled for a day off anyway. They've played, you know.
But here's the thing, Ben. They're also going to get it a week off starting on Monday.
They know.
I mean, when I say a week, about 5 days.
Yeah.
Pedal to the metal, man. One freaking seat on the line. I know the Dodgers had home field in 08. And I'd have to figure out 09. 09, I think the Phillies had it. Look, we know this can go either way. We saw with Arizona last year, you can win a game 7 on another team's turf, home, field, whatever. I get that. But, like, keep going, guys.
It's different here. The Phillies are 28-13 at CBP all time in the playoffs.
Yep.
That's the highest winning percentage of any team, minimum of 20 games played in any ballpark. That's pretty good.
Well, it's incredible considering they lost 2 in a row to end the season last year.
Yeah, that's legit.
All right, well, really big show today as obviously we celebrate the Phillies winning the division. Also, an awful lot of Eagles coverage, which will include Ron Jaworski with us in 5 minutes. Brandon Graham with us in studio, fielding your phone calls from 7:40 to 8:10. And then Nick Sirianni on the show at 8:40 today. 215-592-9494 for your chance to weigh in on all that we're discussing. Let's also hear from Rob Thompson after the game, which also means we're going to hear from John Middleton after the game. You know, they couldn't do a countdown for how many wins because technically they don't know. They haven't clinched the bye yet, but they're going to get it. They're going to need 11 wins once the playoffs start. I mean, we can just tell you that's what the number will be, but they didn't want to go on the record saying that yet, which I totally understand. Here's Rob Thompson after he had already congratulated Trey on the 250 career doubles, after he had congratulated Kyle Schwarber for the 100 RBIs. Here is Rob Thompson last night with a big assist from John Middleton.
When we entered the playoffs, they said it was very difficult to get here. And to win a division is even more difficult. So congratulations on that. We still got some work to do, though. Okay? We still got some work to do. We want to get that five. That's very important to us. I want you guys to party tonight. But be ready to come here and play tomorrow. Now, last thing. I brought John in here. John, come on over here. Remember in spring training, the man said he wants his trophy. We're going to get it.
I want my friend.
So that's John Middleton dropping an F-bomb. He wants his trophy back, and he was putting in an adjective. That's an adjective, right, John? F in that term, is that an adjective?
Yes.
Wants his effing trophy back?
Yes, it's an adjective. It is.
So he put it out there.
It's modifying trophy. Descriptor.
Ben, he's not afraid to go there.
What kind of trophy is it?
Yes.
It's a trophy.
It's that a bleeping
sort of trophy.
It's that trophy. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. 215-592-9494. Jaws Shortland again. Sirianni, 8:40 today. Dante right now. Good morning, Dante.
Good morning.
What's up, Dante?
What's happening, pal?
Adjectival, I think, is the word.
I wanted to congratulate the Phillies for winning the division title. I'm not even a baseball guy, so that's a testament to just how special
when we entered the playoffs
over the last few years. So I just wanted to give them their flowers first and foremost.
You got it. Now, look, they deserve a lot of credit. They've given us a lot of fun the last couple years, and they, you know, after a strange first couple games this year and a strange July and August? Despite that, they're still a half game off the track for the best record in baseball. It's been a great, you know, almost now 6 month journey.
Absolutely. And this is coming from somebody who's literally never even watched a game, but I follow along with you guys.
Well, thank you. You should watch in October, man. It's good stuff.
I mean, they have convinced me. Absolutely.
Well,
that's exciting.
Then watch a game.
You should check it out. I'm jealous of you. I'm jealous that you get to experience this for the first time, and it's Red October, getting ready to be in your face and just an explosion of excitement.
All right, Dante, give me what you got on the Eagles. Go for it.
Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, as far as us wanting to uproot them at the first sign of trouble, I know that we have a larger sample size now, but I just need everybody in the city to realize one simple equation. There's a hell of a lot more room for this thing to go wrong if you should install somebody else in that either position than there is for it to go more right. Those guys have one of the highest winning percentages of any coach quarterback combination over their first 3 years together. As we know, we've beaten that dead horse. But that's to my point. Should you change that regime? Great. You'll get something different. You're going to get different problems, and there's a hell of a lot more room for it.
Well, let me ask you a question. Are you referring to the short term, meaning in this season, or are you talking about over the next 2 to 3 years? Because they're two totally different things.
As far as
switching, you know, saying don't switch coach or quarterback. Which are you saying?
I am saying over the next two seasons. I mean, at minimum, obviously, finishing this season, and depending on how that goes, I mean, if anything outside of a catastrophic dumpster fire sure. like it ended last
well,
year.
Well, I'll tell you this. I feel confident, very confident, in saying Sirianni's job is clearly on the line this year. And I think Hurts's is as well, but not as dramatically. Hurts would have to be worse to lose his job, in part because of the contract and ramifications if you move off of him early and dead cap money. Sirianni, it's real easy to replace. You just snap your fingers and replace him. Jeffrey Lurie eats some cash. That's the end of the day. But, you know, over the next 2 years, Hurts's job is definitely on the line. And by the way, both their jobs should be on the line because what they both did last year was ridiculous at the end of the year. I mean, it just was. Let's go to Zach in Medford. Zach, you're on WIP. Zachy Zach.
What's up, Zach?
What's up, buddy? All right, we'll come back to him. Tyler in Landenburg. Tyler, you're on WIP.
Good morning, everybody. How we doing this morning?
Doing great, Tyler.
Good, man. Hey, I just want to call as a fellow division rival and say congratulations on winning the division. Sincerely, you guys have a phenomenal roster, man. It's been fun to watch you guys on the other side because we knew our season was done once everybody got injured. So, congratulations to you guys, man. You guys well deserved, and I hope you guys do well in the series and go
what
on.
Is this? So, what are you like? Are you a Braves guy?
What's going on here?
Is that what this is? You're too injured.
Yeah. I'm unfortunately a Braves fan, and I've called in a couple times. I've called in a couple of times and mentioned the Braves. I mentioned the Braves back in May to you guys, and the thing is I'm a third generational Braves fan, and I've lived here my entire life. And I'm going to do the right thing. And my two kids are definitely being raised as Phillies fans, so they don't have to go
Ooh.
Through what I went through.
This is a weird call.
This is very interesting.
Yeah, this is different.
So you're raising your children as Phillies fans, despite the fact that you are a Braves fan, because you don't want them to experience the, ostracism? Of, like, I don't know. Like, this is good. The end result is good. Why can't we get you to reconsider
well, I don't want
your
him. He's
position?
A Braves fan. He's a loser. And I'm done with the phone call. I'm not talking to a Braves fan.
It was such a backhanded compliment, Joe. I heard it in there.
Yeah, I'm
I heard
done.
It.
I don't need that nonsense. Yeah. What I do need is Bryce Harper. Let's hear from Bryce last night after the game talking to Scott Fransky on the Phillies' accomplishment.
Bryce, you're soaking wet. Does this ever get old? No, not at all. I mean, being able to win the division for the first time with the Phillies in my career, really, really cool. I mean, being able to do this and do with the group of guys. I mean, this is our goal in spring training, you know, to be able to win the division, go in, win the first round, win the pennant, and then hopefully win the World Series. And, you know, this is just one of the steps that we got to take, and being able to party with these guys is nothing like it.
All right, I love it. So the Phillies to the playoffs, obviously, which will, for them, likely start 2 weekends from now. Ben, do we know, is that a Friday, Saturday, Sunday in the second round, or is that a Saturday, Sunday? Like, if the... The wild card round, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
It depends. It's just, I mean, the wild card round is the best out of three.
Right.
So if a team sweeps, goes, you know, they win back-to-back games, it's over. If it goes three games, it's going to push it back even another day.
They do
day.
Move it up, though? If that series ends in two, do they move up when the next round starts?
No, I don't think so.
No, it looks like it's going to be October 5th and 6th to start.
Is that the Saturday and
so
Sunday?
So that's Saturday and Sunday. It looks like it's pretty locked in according to the schedule.
And that would be home games, obviously, for the Phillies. Real quick, before we get to Jaws, I want to play some audio. audio of John Middleton after the game talking about the home field advantage. Here's John Middleton as he's talking to John Clark last night. Great coverage, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Here's Middleton with John Clark.
Obviously, it's a goal of the guys to get the top seed, number one seed, but sometimes it doesn't work out for those top seeds. Do you think Philly's different, though, with home field advantage here at Citizens Bank?
Yeah, I think we have the best home field advantage, frankly, of any sport, you know, not just baseball. The Philadelphia fans are just unbelievable. I mean, you can't go anywhere. I think we have a definite home field advantage.
Well, there's no question they do. We've seen it, you know, for multiple stretches now of the postseason. Now, ironically, the Phillies lost their last two games at home the last 2 years. You know, games 4 and 5 versus Houston after being up 2-1, and obviously games 6 and 7 versus Arizona after being up 3-2. So a strange dynamic there, but as Ben pointed out earlier, the Phillies, over the span of all these years they've been in the playoffs, best home field advantage by record. This isn't like just a theory. This isn't just an opinion. Factually speaking, best winning percentage in the history of a home field has been Citizens Bank Park in baseball playoff history. That's pretty amazing. Is that, Ben, is that all playoff history or the current stadiums?
Minimum 20 games played.
That's great.
So, yeah.
That's good stuff.
And it's a big sample size, 20 and 13.
Let's talk to Jaws. He certainly played in some postseason games in Philadelphia sports, most notably 1980, you know, at home, you know, helping lead the Eagles versus the Dallas Cowboys to get to the Super Bowl. He's seen it all. Big Phillies fan and all over covering the Philadelphia Eagles this season with us. Jaws joins us every single Tuesday morning at this time. Good morning, Jaws.
Hey, Joe. First of all, congratulations to the Philadelphia Phillies. And, man, it's always exciting when a Philly team wins. And, you know, thinking back, you mentioned 1980, you know, our Super Bowl year. It was an unbelievable year for Philadelphia sports. Obviously, the Eagles go to the Super Bowl. The Phillies win the World Series. Yeah. The Sixers are in the NBA Finals. The Flyers in the NHL Finals. I mean, it really was a city of champions. It was just a great, great feeling, and there was a tremendous esprit de corps amongst all the teams rooting for each other. And I get that sense right now. You know, you see the Eagle players talk about the Phillies. The Phillies talk about the Eagles when they're winning. You know, obviously, the Flyers and the Sixers are just beginning to start again. So there's great excitement around our sports teams this year.
No question.
Back to 1980, how great it was.
Jaws, get ready. Buckle up for, we call it Red October, but it's also a tired October. The whole town's about to be tired again. Hopefully for a whole month. If we're only tired for a week, that's not good enough.
No, seriously, it's like red-eyed October.
It really is.
The bloodshot. Jaws,
I need you on behalf of all the fathers and grandfathers and, you know, the moms and the grandmoms that you represent, being someone who's overseen families.
Yes.
Proper or improper for the, because, I mean, everyone's got to make their own call in their own household. The 7-year-old to stay up till 11:30 if need be. What says Grand Jaws?
Stay up.
Thank you.
That's no brainer.
I got 7 grandsons, so I know what it's like. They go to Phillies games, they go to Eagles games.
Yeah.
I think sports is such an integral part of their life, but it should be a part of everyone's life, and they root for the home team. So, yes, I'm going to stay up late.
Love it. All right, Charles, let's talk some Eagles here. So they won the game, but it was a really odd way to get there. Does your brain go more positive or negative after that victory as it relates to the Eagles?
I got to tell you, originally I was thinking more negative, but the more I thought it, the more I watched the game, the more I've walked myself through it, a lot of really good things happened in this game that project, you know, to the future. And you know, I've always believed, I know, John, that this team you've been on, those first 4 games you just really never know because you're formulating your team and building your team and building your roster. You don't know what to expect from rookies and young players. And I see this team starting to come together. You know, I remember a long-time conversation with Bill Belichick, and he said he has a picture of his team the first month of the season of what he wants to look like at the end of the season. And I think, you know, with Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio right now, you know, they're new coaches, new players. They're building what they want the team to look like. So at the end of the day, winning is the most important thing. Yes, there are certain things we can nitpick, and we can say, oh, we got to do this better, got to do that better. And I'm sure the coaching staff will do that. But at the end of the day, you look at, you know, the Eagles had 460 yards of total offense against a pretty good Saints defense. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the offense played particularly well. The Saints had 219, coming in, the team averaged 45 points a game. They had 219 yards and 12 points. So I thought overall, down in the trenches where the Eagles impressed me the most. This team's been built around offensive line and defensive line. They showed up together on the same day, and you see the result.
What was the secret sauce, Jaws? Why were we able to stop them at what they did best, which was running the football?
I think our defensive line really understood the physical nature of how you must play the game. And you know, Vic Fangio, I think, will beat on these guys. And I know how Vic coaches. I know how he pushes his players. You know, you've got to win the line of scrimmage. And the defensive line won the line of scrimmage. They played in the New Orleans Saints' backfield. And that's how you win. And now you get that game, a game like that on tape, and you see Jalen Carter, and you see the great game that he's had, and Jordan Davis playing well. The edge rushers holding the edge and funneling everything back inside where defensive tackles are penetrating and linebackers are penetrating. You're going to shut down a potent offense, any potent offense. The Saints have a very good offense. So I think when players begin to buy into what Vic Fangio wants them to do, and you see the result.
Yeah. The jam front, you know, covering the center and both guards, it felt like, you know, like that scheme helped. But the guys just played tougher football, didn't they, Jaws? Like up front, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, it felt like a new attitude. What is that sustainable in your mind?
Yes, these guys are first-round draft choice. They're great college players. They've had good NFL careers. They need to have great NFL careers. And I love that you mentioned that double sink from those tackles down inside. That puts a lot of pressure on the edge rusher, whoever that may be. It might be a safety. It may be a linebacker. It could be a corner, depending on the formation. And I thought the best thing they did was they held the edge. They did not Alvin Kamara get to the outside. Mm-hmm. That was a big factor in the game. They didn't give the time in the pocket for Carr. So I thought the defensive line played really well, but also they set the edge very well and did not allow explosive plays.
So our offense, it felt like the first half we were not able to get into a rhythm. I was not happy with the fact that our running back only carried it five times, but it felt like Jalen Hurts settled down in the second half. How much better?
I know Jalen's been uneven this year. I mean, you could, you know, the game was a reflection of his best and his worst. You know, his game. We can talk about it for hours. He can't turn the football over. It is the number one stat that's been in the history of the NFL. You usually lose football games when you turn the football over more than the opponent. We've been lucky to win a couple of games.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Where we've turned the ball over more than the opponent. So Jalen is normally very judicious with the football. He doesn't make mistakes of where he puts it in harm's way. I think he'll work through this, but we got to be realistic about it. He's thrown an interception in seven straight games going back to last year. That has got to stop if we're going to be the team that we think this team can be.
So the wide receiver injuries that we've suffered, no AJ out there, no Devontae Smith out there after his concussion Sunday, how open were the wide receivers for Jalen?
Well, there was small separation. In fact, I thought it was kind of interesting. You know, the 61-yard play to Dallas Goedert, which was obviously the game-breaking play. Why in the world, and you know, I've been around this game since 1973. I know there's a lot of experience in there. Why would on 3rd and 17 you play man-to-man coverage? It was the most bizarre defensive call I think I may have ever seen on 3rd and 17. Because you compound that with a running quarterback in Jalen Hurts, why would you go man-to-man? You may say, oh, they're going to throw a spy on him. Jalen will beat a spy pretty much 9 out of 10 times. So he's like Randall Cunningham. He's a spy Randall Cunningham. I would laugh because Randall's a better athlete and Jalen's a better athlete than the spies they put on. But 3rd and 17, you go man-to-man coverage. Yeah. And historically, you get in those situations, the defense will play back, rush the quarterback, and make him throw the ball underneath and rally and make a tackle and force 4th and 10, not get a first down. Not where you get picks and rubs. And obviously, it worked for us, which is phenomenal. But yeah. Thank you very much to the Saints and Dennis Allen for calling man-to-man coverage on 3rd and 17, and we got the rubs taken care of.
And, Jaws, so that was the second time that they ran that crossing route, I think. Wasn't the big gainer and then the one-handed? We did it one time. I think it was the same play, Jaws. We did that Dallas Goedert drive route, the Dallas Goedert crossing route.
From left to right,
yeah,
and it worked. And Dallas did make a great one-handed catch.
Yeah, but it's simple. It worked. Hey, flip it and run it again. I got no problem with that.
So Jose, let's get to the decisions that Sirianni made. And obviously, we're going to talk to him in an hour about this stuff. I mean, the town is still buzzing about it. Can you make any sense of those decisions he made that have cascaded controversy properly so on him?
I kind of get the feeling, Joe, we're going to have this conversation all year long. Yeah. I really do. I think through the past couple of weeks, I've made my position very clear. And you know, I always back it with, you know, my career and coaches I've played for. And the coaches I've played for have won close to 1,000 games, from Dick Vermeil and Don Shula, Hall of Famers, to Marty Schottenheimer and Buddy Ryan and terrific coaches like that. And the basic general belief is take your points. Take the points every opportunity you get. And there seems to be a disdain from Nick Sirianni that, you know, points are easy to come by. They're not. Look, this game was 15-12. It shouldn't have been that close, quite honestly, but it was. That's just the way the nature of the game is. And early in the game, I've always believed in the psychological effect of coming off the field with points. You drive 80 yards, you know, and you may not get a touchdown, but get three. So all of a sudden, the guys are coming, running off the field, offensive line with a smile on their face, wide receivers are happy, we got points. Okay, defense, go out there and do your job and shut them down. So I think the psychological impact is a lot more than even just putting the points on the board, or just as much.
You know, Jules, I do wonder, and we'll get into this with him in an hour, if because they were without so many parts, AJ, Devontae, Lane Johnson, you know, as the game went on, if the mindset is there's not that many times my team's going to get the ball down the field, let me try to get 7 now because I'm not going to have 8 different cracks at it. I might only have 2 or 3. I wonder if he thinks that, and that makes him more aggressive.
Well, I'd love to hear what Nick has to say on that. It's a good question that hopefully someone in the media will ask him.
Yeah.
I thought the gadget play to Saquon was really not warranted at that time. And I love gimmicks. I love gadgets. I love design, explosive plays. We didn't need it at that point. I think that was kind of a little bit of a panic decision. But I'd rather hey. Pounded, Saquon's running the ball really well up the middle. Our tush push is literally unstoppable. Why are we going to go to a gimmick and gadget play in that situation? Either, you know, kick, you know, either go to the tush push or kick the field goal.
Yeah, especially when there's 14 seconds left. I mean, you get the first down, you use the timeout. Now maybe there's 9 seconds left. Maybe you get one play for the end zone and that's it. It just didn't seem warranted.
I agree with you, Joe.
Jaws, final thing here. Just sort of give us an early look 5 days ahead to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, it's been a very strange start to the season. I would say maybe, Jaws, as strange as any year I can ever remember, where it really feels both locally and nationally, it's hard to get a grasp on what teams have.
I couldn't agree with you more. You look at the Bengals, how poorly they're playing. Oh. Then you look at Jaden Daniels down in Washington, the game he put out last night. Now you're going to start thinking about the Washington Commanders. I'm scratching my head going, oh, my God.
I know.
I'm going to see this kid twice a year. He was phenomenal last night. So eventually teams rebound and come around. But quite honestly, Joe, I haven't looked at Tampa tape this week.
Yep.
Last week, when they won, They were very, very. They got their butts handed to them. And they won a football game, so they were winning. But I didn't think they were playing good football. So, but you know, they lost this week. So you know what it's like down in Tampa Bay. Todd Bowles will have them ready. Todd Bowles always has his team ready. It'll be a physical, violent game. That's how they play in Tampa. So it's going to be a tough grind. We got a little retribution coming up, I hope, because they kicked our butt last year, 32-9, knocks out the playoffs. So we got to get them back.
No question, Jaws. Good stuff, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the Phils. We'll look. Hopefully for the next month, we're talking a lot of Philly with you as well. I know you love when the Philly teams do well, and we'll be covering it all. Thank you, Josh.
Hey, Joe, I'm going to the game tonight. I wish I would have been there last night when they clinched.
Well, let me ask you a dirty question. Would you have preferred they lost last night so with your own eyes you could see the clincher?
Yes.
Here's Jaws's response to Jaws.
And people know when it's bullshit.
All right, get that out of here. That's when you dropped the line on us a couple months ago. John, stay well, man. Good stuff.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, you got it. Great stuff. All right, let's welcome in our next guest is, Brandon Graham. Obviously, it's just phenomenal. Phenomenal having him in studio every single Tuesday at this time for about a half an hour. He'll be fielding phone calls with you. You can join at 215-592-9494. BG is always brought to us by Primo Hoagies. Be like Brandon Graham and make your game day epic with party trays from Primo Hoagies online at PrimoHoagies.com. It's not just a hoagie, it's a Primo. It's a 2-1-1 football team, and it's Mr. Brandon Graham. Good morning, BJ.
Good morning, man. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm great. Better that you guys won a football game, my man.
Hey, I feel you. Hey, man, I'm happy, just the way, defense showed up, responded. Our team responded because it was a together that you got to have in this thing, man. And I was just happy that we responded.
Well, is your body happy? How does your body feel after 35 snaps?
I ain't gonna lie, I feel good, man. I'm like, hey, I was like, for me to play 30 some snaps, I was like, okay. And we was on turf too. Right now, man, I'm excited because I feel like it's just I'm building on my body just as far as taking care of it. Every Wednesday, I'm having massage. Going into a Thursday, both days, and then I just got a regimen that I'm on, and I do acupuncture. I do a bunch of different stuff.
I tried that too.
Mm-hmm. And then you take your stuff before the game, get ready.
Yeah. So Brandon, we'll get to the whole team and the whole deal, but let's focus on the defense for a second. Mm-hmm. So there's some stuff in sports that confuses us. How does a baseball hitter? I mean, Ben, a baseball hitter can go 8-for-10 in two games and then go 0-for-20 in four. Like, how and why? All right. So, Brandon, help us understand, how does the team defensively struggle so much week two? And then what a great rebound from you guys 2 days ago. How do you make that switch? What went into it?
Well, you know what? I just think it was us going through, like John said it, like we got four games of finding our identity in this. And I think that last game was a wake-up call for a lot of us. I have to say all of us, because at the end of the day, when we watched the film, it was just people out there trying to go grab other people plays. And I mean, it's just, I feel it. It's the first home game. Everybody's trying to go get and make a play. And when we talked about this week was do your job. I want you to be accountable for what you do. I'm going to be accountable for what I do. Y'all trust me. I trust you. Let's go out. Let's just put on a show. Because when we watched that film, it was more like, dang, man, we can't be letting these games slip. We know what to do. Just do your job. Yeah. Do your job. And people responded well to it.
I always wondered, as a pass rusher, what your view of blitzing is. We as fans, we always want to just light it up. Like, send everybody. Like, just corner blitz. Like, send safeties, everyone, every time. But that's unsound. And that risks a lot on the backside. As a pass rusher, whose job is specifically, hey, go get that quarterback on the ground. How do you feel about blitzing, and how well are we getting quarterbacks on the ground so far this year?
Hey, well, this the third game. I mean, I know we hit the quarterback a lot this past game, and so I was happy about that. We didn't even have to blitz as much either. But coach always tell us the week of, hey, y'all, we're gonna have to have a four-man rush. We're gonna have to do this because we need to play coverage in the back end, and that's a challenge for us. And how we building is, we doing the dinners together. We going out talking about ball a little bit and what y'all thinking, building that chemistry, like how me and Fletch had, where we just look at each other, be like, hey, okay, and that's it. Like, it's just no verbal, where because people listening while you out there as a defensive line and the offensive line listening to your calls and all that stuff, and you got to be able to have that that bond, that chemistry together. And I think just with us growing and building together, I know that you know, they trust us. And Jalen Carter now doing what he do in the middle, and Jordan, I'm telling you, man, Jordan is building his, as well. But man, we got some people that can play this game, and even Bryce Huff, man, I'm gonna defend him because he work his butt off every day. The stuffs ain't came yet, but as y'all know, he in a new scheme. I ain't making no excuses for him, but I know he gonna show up big for us this year, and you know,
man,
I can't wait.
That's nice of you.
Yeah, Brandon Graham with us here on WIP. We're going to get to phone calls in a moment. And again, you can comment on the Phillies, who last night clinched the division, first time in a long time, but back to the playoffs for three straight years. And the playoffs will start, you know, back into next week, it looks like, for the Phillies in all likelihood in the divisional round, which would be a Saturday-Sunday start, two Saturdays and Sundays from now. BG, let's talk more about Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter. So I know for a couple of years now you've been mentoring these guys. What do you say to them this week to get them locked in, to bottle up what they did and do it again and again and again and again? Because that's what you and Fletcher did for over a decade. How do you get these guys who have so much talent to do it over and over again?
You know what? It's so funny you say that, because we already had this conversation. Even after the game, I say, you see what I say? Like, you see what I told you? If you just get off the ball and be the rhino I know you can be, hey, man, you see what happened. You wrecked the game. And I seen him smiling. He feeling good. And it's going to be every day. I mean, you got to remind people sometimes because, hey, don't get comfortable. It's like, man, all right, you did that one game. Just like us as a defense, we did it. Man, we couldn't have played better this last game. But it's just like, how we going to respond to this? Like, are we going to buy into what we just did, or are we going to keep building?
Yep.
Keep that same chip on your shoulder, because it ain't over. The mission is the mission. That's winning week to week so we can make our – getting this postseason, then, you know, winning one game at a time, and then hopefully holding that trophy in the end.
Let's get a lot of calls in here. 215-592-9494 to comment on either team. Also, a reminder, Twitter poll question of the day, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Equinox remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive, ArminChevy.com. The poll question, which is more top of mind for you today? Obviously, both are on our mind, the Eagles and the Phils. But we asked, which is top of mind for you? Is it A, the Eagles, 2 days after that Saints game, or B, the Phillies, the day after they clinched the division for the first time in a while? Coming up shortly, we'll also play more audio from last night, including things Rob Thompson, John Middleton, and some of the stars of the team said after the game. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Zach in Medford. Zach, you're on with Brandon Graham. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning, Zach.
Good morning, guys. Happy accident that I was a little delayed on getting back to my Bluetooth. BG, I just wanted to thank you for your 15 years here. My wife and I love you and all that you've done for the city. Just wanted to get that out of the way.
Man, I appreciate you.
So, I wanted to kind of take a victory lap here. I mentioned the last week when I called.
Hold on, a victory lap. This isn't I told you so, just to be clear. Is that where we're headed?
Less than I told you.
Sounds like an I told. Right, go ahead, give us the I. Listen,
did you learn
you
this
never
from
do I told
to
you so. Exactly. Yeah. So.
I mean, Zach, but it's a given that I told you so. But tell me how you actually got one right. Go ahead.
Well, it's few and far in between that I get something right. But one of the things I said last week is I was hoping that the tight end Dallas Goedert and Grant Calcaterra would be more involved. And I thought that was the key to us winning this week. And then Dallas goes 170 yards. And I thought that was integral to us winning this week.
Yep.
And seeing Calcaterra get involved was awesome as well.
Calcaterra, they're trying to use him as an H-back, as a move guy. He needs to get a lot better at being that move guy H-back, trying to be the fullback.
Well, he is what he is.
Wow.
I mean, I don't mean that disrespectful.
He's a good receiving tight end that, you know, he's better when they use him that way.
Yeah, he's not Keith Byers, you know. He's not going to be a chess piece to the same extent with the same thud. All right, Zach, we got you. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Chuck in Mount Airy. Chuck, you're on WIP.
Hey, I want to say, you know, first of all, good morning, everybody. I want to say, BG, you played amazing, man. I called last week, and I recall it ripped y'all. You said you promised that you was going to go out there and do your thing, man. You see you doing your thing in year 15. It's just a sight to see. You set the edge well. You played the run well. You rushed the quarterback at the end of the game. Keep doing your thing, BG, and get that defense up to be top five in the league, man. You know what I mean? I think you guys are going to be the better of the two units before it's all said and done. I'm still worried about the offense. I'm sorry to coach, but you you did your thing. You delivered. You know what I mean? I appreciate you in year 15, man. I don't want to see you go. You can't retire, man. It's the last year, brother. Still got, you got a lot of football left in you, brother. Think about it, man. Don't retire yet. But great job on Sunday, man. Keep it up.
Hey, man, I appreciate you calling in, Chuck, because I sure was going to say, man, you said that already like you told me last week. Hey. But, hey, let me tell you, man, we know work is not done, man. We're going to keep it going, just like with the offense. Hey, stick with us because we're building. And I feel like they're going to pop off, and when they get their rhythm, they're going to hit the ground running. Special teams going to keep it up, and we're going to pop one out one of these days with them too. And, man, it's just you gotta stay together on it. And so that's fans included, baby, because we need y'all.
Hold on, Chuck. Are you an expert at evaluating, like, setting an edge? Like, how can you tell that Brandon is doing a good job at that?
I'm not just a buffoon that calls a radio show and just talking around my gums. I know football, man.
There you go.
I know a little
nice,
bit about
Chuck.
Football. I don't have to have played football at a pro level to know football. I know football.
Well answered, Chuck. Chuck,
I played it in high school.
There you go.
I know football, and BG is playing at a high level year 15. And you know why he's
sure
playing
is.
At a high level year 15? Because he's getting the most snaps.
There you go. All right, Chuck, good call.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
So, BG, let's get to, you know, it's funny. There's a 4th-and-1. Seltzer, how many times yesterday did we reference a 4th-and-1 that did not work out?
Yeah.
37?
Quite a few.
57?
Multiple,
all right,
yes.
BG, let's talk about a 4th-and-1 that did work out. And frankly, ironically, despite the 4th-and-1 on offense that was discussed much more, the 4th-and-1 on defense, let's be real, was a more important play because if not for that stop, you guys might lose the game. What take us inside when you freaking stuffed Alvin Kamara in a huge spot in the second half?
Man. It was all attitude, and then we had a tip because of somebody getting hurt, and then a new lineman coming in, and he just was pointing everywhere he went, and it was like, oh yeah, they coming this way. I couldn't
very
believe it.
Nice.
I honestly couldn't believe it. I say, oh, they coming this way because he's leaning. He was leaning
wow.
hard. And I knew it was one of those plays where the tight end was coming down, so I just went straight grab, just. Like straight ahead,
because
it's that gap scheme where it's a power where the one guy come down on you and then everybody one guy pull, and man, we just blew it up, and Zach Bond came on the edge and blasted that tight end, man. And
that's a great feeling.
That's good stuff.
That was a good feeling.
That was a huge play, man.
Oh, it was after that block punt, boy. That's why I said, like, everybody was just so – the sideline was on point because when sudden change happened, we was just like, man, dapping each other up. Come on, let's do it again. Let's do it again. And we didn't get tired of doing it. And that's what I love, that we wasn't tired of doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we never
– it felt like there was so much – I don't know. Like, there was more oomph. Like, the whole team on both sides of the football, there was more aggression. I mean, we even saw, like, Jalen Carter, that there was a shot of him, like, just overflowing on the sideline with angst and aggression, like, almost so much he couldn't get it all out on the field.
Yeah.
That's new. That's great. Mm-hmm. I do think that's how you win in the NFL, tapping into that.
Yep.
What was the difference this week? Why did we get to that level of emotion?
You know what? I'm going to give y'all credit, man. Y'all might have been talking too much, and then somebody had to prove y'all wrong.
It's like when Zach Ertz started taking on blocks after we all were criticizing him for not taking on that one block.
And you know what? It was a heartbreaker last game because we knew we should have won that game, but I'm glad it happened if we was going to do this. And so now how can we stay here and just keep building on that? So that's where I'm at. I mean, I'm not going overboard. I'm just excited. We're going to take the wins with the losses and keep them going, but majority wins. And I know for me, it's just the message is the message. How important is it to you? I mean, y'all showed it now that y'all can do it. Now I want to see it every week. And even when we doing little things like lifting weights on weight days, get stronger because we going to need it. Because as your body going through the year, you're getting a little weaker if you're not in that weight room.
Yeah.
And you got to take care of your body. And so I'm telling them guys, all the good stuff, but they gotta want it too. I can't give it all to them, and if they don't take it, I mean, it don't add no value. But I know for sure that these guys are listening because, I mean, they showing up. And so I hope they stay here.
BG in studio with us, as he is every Tuesday, from 7:40 to 8:10 and fielding phone calls. Also, we'll get to more of the audio from the Phils last night. The victory, Rob Thompson, John Middleton after the game. That's coming up soon. Ed in Phoenixville right now. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, BG. How's everything going?
What's up?
So if you're Jordan Davis's biggest advocate, I'm probably his second. So Sunday's game just had me all sorts of fired up. I mean, those first two plays where he would fire off with leverage and just like the violent hands, like he was initiating contact and just ruining folks.
And he actually did the drop to a knee thing too. And I think this might have been the first or second play, like giant. He started to get moved a little bit, and he had that. It's like a nice reaction, like just go to a knee, get your footing, and then right back to domination of two men in front of him. The guy is strong.
He's strong, man. Got to believe in himself, like anybody. As a young guy, I'm with you, Ed, man. Like, it's just experience, and then you're getting reps, and then on top of that, you're growing, you're maturing. And I'm happy that these guys are maturing at a time where we need them right now, this year, because they got the keys. And I told them, man, don't get them keys. Don't get them keys away. You know, until you out of here, you know, because that's what the whole goal was when they drafted you in the first round. It's like, go out here, man, show them what you can do. And I'm going to stay on him, though. If you're advocating for him, I'm on him.
If he plays with technique, zero people can block him. That's just a fact. Yes. So, yeah, keep up the good work, guys. Great talking to you.
All right, Ed, appreciate the phone call.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.